I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, the great big cons of Titanic Thompson. But first, before the current women's college basketball season began, Connecticut head coach Gino Auriemma announced that his team's winning streak, which began 2 years ago and has now reached 80 games, would be broken this season. Joining me now to evaluate that proposition and discuss various other matters pertaining to women's hoops is Michelle Smith of AOL Fan House. Michelle, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Bill.
The Connecticut streak almost did come to an end when the Huskies played Baylor, led by Brittany Griner, on Tuesday night, but UConn prevailed 65-64. Baylor is number two in the country. Which team, if any, validates Coach Auriemma's preseason prediction?
Well, I will say this. I think he's right. I think, you know, Baylor could have done it. That game was an interesting game of swings. I think at one point Connecticut was up by 15, and then they were down by 8 and ended up pulling it out. They are going to play Ohio State at Madison Square Garden in December. I think that's a possibility. I don't know if it's a likelihood, but I think it could happen there. I think it could happen at Stanford on December the 30th. I think it could well happen there. And it could happen in the Big East. But I think Gino's right. I think the air of invincibility about that team with Tina Charles and Kalena Green and some of the other players they had is gone. They're playing a lot of young players around Maya Moore. And I think that streak comes to an end this year.
That Baylor played UConn as tough as they did may have surprised some observers. Kelly Griffin, who figured to be Baylor's starting point guard, left the team just before the season began. She had started 50 consecutive games before that. How many teams could survive that sort of loss?
No, that was a big loss and kind of a shock. But, you know, on the other hand, Baylor's team really isn't about what's going on at point guard. So if you can get somebody to get the ball to Brittany Griner, then you're okay. You know, Baylor's a really good team, and there's a lot. Melissa Jones there, they've got experienced players. They're not necessarily, you know, seniors and older players, but they've got a lot of players who played a lot last season and a lot of experience, and I think that helped them absorb Griffin's last-minute departure.
Unlike UConn, the fourth-ranked University of Tennessee team has not played great opponents early. Pat Summitt's women won their first few games by scores like 110-60, 86-53, and this beauty, 103-43. What exactly?
They're just getting warmed up. Pat always schedules tough, and I think maybe she has pulled the throttle back a little on her program because they've struggled so much the last 2 or 3 years. But they've got plenty of tough teams on their schedule, and they'll have some interesting games coming up.
All of the Pac-10 coaches picked Stanford, ranked third in the country, to win that conference again this season. This perhaps didn't surprise you.
No. Stanford's won 11 straight titles. I mean, they still pretty much own the Pac-10. And the question isn't whether Stanford wins the Pac-10. It's whether Stanford comes all the way back to the Final Four for the fourth consecutive year and can actually win the championship, because they've been now 3 years in a row. They've played in the championship game twice. And they haven't won. And, you know, I think that's starting to stick in their craw. I think they thought that game against Connecticut last year, as ugly as it was and not appealing as it was a winnable game for them, and that they let that slip away.
Michelle, in the spring, the Pac-10 is going to combine the women's and men's tournaments. Do you like this idea, and do you see it spreading to other conferences?
I like the idea for the Pac-10. The women's tournament has not done incredibly well in the Pac-10 in terms of attendance and interest, and it's something to try. I'm not sure it's the answer, but I think at this point you've got to give it a go and see if you can get more fans in the building and maybe more crossover fans. I'm not sure it needs to work for other conferences. I think the Big 12 conference does just fine with separating its two conferences. I think the Big East tournament does fine, but some of these postseason conference tournaments, the women don't draw very well, and the Pac-10 has been one of those.
Duke has the number 6 ranked women's team, which might be a bigger deal if Duke didn't have the number 1 ranked men's team. Do the women draw as many Cameron crazies to their building as the men do?
They do really well. I mean, these have been two good programs for a long time, and Duke's a basketball school, certainly, and they do really well. They're not paling by comparison.
While we're on the subject of Duke, we should acknowledge that Coach Joanne McCallie got her 400th victory when Duke overwhelmed Southern California 75-50 on Monday evening. Coach McCallie said, and I'm quoting now, "I don't know if that's good or bad or what it is, but it's good, right?"
Yeah. Now, Joanne's a young coach, you know, in relative terms, and she's had a really nice career at Michigan State and at Maine, and then now certainly at Duke. And, you know, she's got a good team, and she's got great recruiting class that she brought in there this year. So there's good things in the future, in the immediate future for Duke, definitely.
Ohio State, ranked 7th nationally and winners of 31 games last season, has returned all 5 starters. It's never a bad thing to be able to do that, right?
No, it's not. The hang-up on Ohio State is not what happens during the regular season, where they win Big Ten titles and Jantel Lavender is the 3-time conference player of the year. It's what happens when they get to the NCAA tournament, where I think 5 out of the last 6 years they've lost to a lower-seeded team. They keep getting upset. They keep getting knocked out before they want to get knocked out, before people think they should get knocked out. And that's kind of the anvil that hangs around that program.
Hmm. All right, Michelle, we have talked pretty much exclusively about very good teams. Have you got any sleepers for us, teams that are either ranked below the top 10 or maybe not ranked at all, but they might knock off a Stanford or a Tennessee or even a UConn?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, we've had conversations about this whole idea of mid-majors and, you know, these programs that certainly play well enough. I mean, last year, you know, there were programs like San Diego State in the Sweet 16, Gonzaga got in the Sweet 16. You know, Xavier is a highly, highly ranked program with some very good players not playing in a major conference. And, you know, I think that there are more of those schools that can find themselves in the rankings, more of those schools that are going to find themselves in that Sweet 16 at some point Elite Eight level. It's whether or not they make the push to that next step and you see it a mid-major and a Final Four. It's been a long time.
Michelle Smith writes about women's basketball and various other things for AOL Fan House. Michelle, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks, Bill.